Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Good to have you here tonight. Started this last week, and I'm probably not going to get finished this week either. I wanted to get to the victory part, but I'm not sure I'm going to get there. Matthew chapter 15. We're going to begin reading in verse 16. If you read through the Bible and you understand what part a Christian is supposed to play in society, you will find that often it's a little different than what our American society has brought it to be. Our American society has decided that Christianity, church, is really for us to feel better, to get rid of our problem. Now, He is our comforter. And that is part of, in the midst of it, as you go serve, by the way, if you go looking for happiness, you're never going to find it. You go looking for the Lord, you'll find happiness along the way. And I think part of what we've done has been the last few generations where we've kind of gotten fat and happy, if you will, and we have everything we need. Society was doing real well. You know what? Our kids, you know, it was, you go back a generation or two and say, well, my kids aren't out there doing crazy stuff. They're not out getting drunk. You know, we got good kids and everything fine. And realize that we've forgotten that being good is not necessarily the same as being saved. Now, there's a lot of things I did not do when I was a young kid, not because I was saved, but because I was brought up pretty well. I was trained. Being trained is different than being saved. Now, the problem is, the next generation came up and they weren't saved, so thus they didn't train. Or, by the way, let me say this. We train whether we know it or not. We're teaching our kids. I mean, the fact is, how many boys have been, you know, a certain sports team fan because dad is? You know, they're into NASCAR because dad is. They're into baseball because dad is. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But see, we train. But the fact is, do you remember the old commercial when they first started to kind of preach against smoking? And this guy was sitting down on the side of a step, and he picked up a pack of cigarettes, and he lit one up. And the little boy is sitting there next to him. He was doing everything daddy was doing. And daddy's sitting there smoking a cigarette and laid the pack down. And the little boy's sitting over here and he picks up the pack and looks at it. Well, the fact is, there's an awful lot that we need to take responsibility for. I saw it on the news just the other day where a town, was it out there in where one of the riots was. And now if the kids are found destroying property, they're going to charge those people for the police time and others folks for the problems and destruction that they've caused. And they can't find the kids don't have money, they're going to go after their parents. Well, that's not fair. Yes, it is fair because parents are supposed to train the children. Now, who trains the parents? Really? You know who it is? Church. It's the church. Our society is where it is because we've left society have its own way. The Bible says a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. The Bible says foolishness is bound to the heart of a child, but a rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Again, we're not beating them to death. You might have to warm their bottom when they're little, when they don't understand anything else. Or maybe if just plain get very rebellious, you might have to do some of that. But you're not beating them to death. You're not doing that, you know. But we need to be correcting and training. Train up a child in the way as you go. When he's old, you not depart from it. Now, that's not a direct promise. First of all, a child has to be willing to be trained. And training is more than just telling. Training is doing it with them. If you've ever trained for a job and the guy says, do this and this and this and this and this, and then do this and this and this, and you just, and you've lost it all before. So, but if you got somebody who says, okay, walk with me. This is what we're going to do it today. I'm you, and you be my shadow. And a couple days, you'll do it, and I'll be your shadow. And we're going to train you how to do this. That's a whole different ballgame. That's what we need to do with their children. How many times you see a kid goes wrong, and all, and the parent goes off the deep end and just rants and raves in front of everybody. By the way, how many likes to be belittled in front of everybody? Your child doesn't either. Well, they're just a child. They know. You knew. A couple times your parent, your teacher, laid you out in front of everybody, and you might have been, you know, I was the kind, I wanted everybody to like me. And if I thought a teacher didn't like me, I couldn't hardly get anything done. Now, I wasn't trying to you know, schmooze them or anything, to get by with anything. I just wanted to make sure I was pleasing them. I just really did. And you know what, your kids, they want to know that you've pleased them. They want to love you. You want to train them. Now, look at the scripture here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus is speaking. He says, and Jesus says, are ye also yet without understanding? He said, okay, do we not understand this yet? What are we talking about? Well, it says, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. He says, do you understand that the problem we have is coming from the heart of man? See, we have not understood that yet. We were trained, and we said, no, go out there and be good, and you know, and do this. And do, we trained our kids, and they kind of had some sense about them. Not necessarily that they were saved, but they had some sense about them. The fact is, there's evil in the heart of every person. This man who shot those people out there in Las Vegas, you know, they said they did an autopsy. They were looking for some kind of brain abnormality. There you go. Looking for something that's what was crazy that wasn't working. They said, can't find anything. They said, we're trying to find a connection with Al-Qaeda or ISIS, and ISIS wants to take credit for it. But they said they really can't find the connection yet. I don't know whether maybe they will or maybe they won't. I don't know. Our president says this is just simply pure evil. And you know what? He might be right. Now, we may find some things. He said, well, what in the world would make that man do that? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders. Verse 19, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness. Why do people loot when there's some kind of devastation? Everybody's always already hard up, and then they go in and they take everything else they have. Thefts. It's in the heart. And you know what? Except for the grace of God, so go we. You know, most of us grew up in a different kind of home. And some, just because somebody looks professional doesn't mean that everything was great in the house. And we don't know what the people have been filling their minds up with. But the sin comes from us. And if the sin is not dealt with, this is what we're going to have. Let's pray before I go any further. And we're talking about changing the new normal. Changing the new normal. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, sometimes it's a scary world to live in, but Lord, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You've overcome the world. We overcome the world in our faith, our belief in you. And all of you is Savior. All of you is the sanctifier. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us your wisdom. Help me be a blessing. Lord, I just set a fire underneath of us. If we may not be able to change all of America, we could probably change Dover. And we could change Dover. You could do something in York County. And if you can do something in York County, you can do something across the Susquehanna Valley. If you can do the Susquehanna Valley, you can do all of southern Pennsylvania. You can do all of Pennsylvania. You changed the world with 120 people in an upper room who were filled with the Spirit, who were given to you to serve. Think what we could do. Regular folks were in that upper room. Regular folks are in this room. Help us to get a vision, as they just sang, your vision, to see what you can do. So, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to us here this evening. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. So heart is bound, sin is bound in the heart. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And we looked at this verse last week in 2 Timothy 3. It says, "Let this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's where we have forgotten to help them learn to love God. You learn to love God, and the love of others comes with it. But as long as we are loving ourselves first, this is what we're going to have. That's what's happened to marriages for years. He loves himself first, and she loves herself first. She's looking out for him, and he's looking out for him, and she's looking out for her. And we wonder why we're pulling apart. Often, when I talk to a couple and they're having trouble being together, I said, "Here's people say, well, marriage is 50-50. You know, now watch me. Let's say I need to go come up to my point, and she needs to come up to hers, and then we meet. Here's the problem: we're sinners. For all of sin and come short of the glory of God. We're always going to be short. And so the fact is, we never quite measure up. And what's even worse, we have anticipation. We have made an appointment with the perfect man, with the perfect woman. And then when we got married, we realized we didn't make the appointment. And we've come up short. And we live like this. Watch. If someone says, you know what, I am going to be the one that's going to make this marriage work. It's all me. And she says, you know what, it's all me. I'm going to be the one that's going to make this marriage work. Not if, but when we fall short of that expectation, we're still in good shape. We're still in good shape because men are lovers of their own selves. By the way, that means women too. Now, We are. The Lord is asking us to do some things. We regard iniquity in our heart. God's not going to hear us, and all these things. And we talked about how the Lord has tried to get our attention over and over and over again. And back in Proverbs, He says He will laugh at our calamity when the whirlwind, when the hurricane comes, when all the mess comes. He says, then you're going to try to seek me early, but I'm not going to listen. Because he says, at this point, you've got to go ahead and learn the lesson. You see, if he bails us out right away, then you know what we're going to do? We're going to do exactly what our kids do. They're going to do as little as possible. And if they're not going to get in too much trouble, they're going to do it again. He has to make it bad enough so we won't forget. I remember as a kid talking about Agnes. And I'm not talking about a lady who lived down the street. How many people remember Agnes? Was that 72? We went up and got some pieces of furniture at a used furniture store up in Ephrata. And where this place sits is kind of down a hole. And it said, flood levels. Water level, and it had it painted on the side of the corner where it was and for Agnes and where it was for Ivan or whatever it was and where it was when this came through. And one was like, you know, I'm kind of glad he put that the folks have started putting names on it. Sandy. Isn't that a nice name? Sandy. But they didn't think so much of it over there in New Jersey when it came through. Why? He wants us to remember. Now, let me give you a couple thoughts here and get to the new stuff. It used to be normal for folks to care for the souls of others. It used to be normal for us to ask others to church. It used to be normal to tell others of Christ. We haven't been doing that. I'm talking as a whole, Christianity. See, this new normal is not right normal. And the new normal doesn't have to remain normal. Normal can go back to what God wants. Normal used to be that our society basically shut down. I've talked about this. Normal used to be folks feared God. Normal used to be that folks prayed. Normal used to be that folks read their Bible. But that has been several generations, and that's not normal anymore. In fact, normal has been shifting further and further away all the time. Normal, we talked about last week, is sin-driven. Why? Because we have not done anything to tamper down, to hinder our own flesh. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about rights. The problem is my rights end at the end of your nose. You know what I'm saying? And they always say, well, you are supposed to make everything happen for me. But that person say, well, yeah, but you were supposed to make everything happen for me. It doesn't work. The new normal is sin-driven. It's selfish-driven. Why? In 2 Timothy it says, because men are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The new normal, watch, is non-reality. It's non-reality. Many, we talk about this, many contemplate suicide and just want to check out early because they don't know what to do with it. Some just want to escape for a season. Some get into partying. Now, when I was a kid, that usually meant we're going to have ice cream and cake and a candle and some chips and some pretzels and soda. That's what partying meant. That's not what it means anymore. I remember as a kid in high school when they said, we're having a party. Okay, good. I went to one. I didn't understand that partying mean that you go there and kids who are underage are going to find a beer and they're going to find dark spots in the room. And they're going to start doing things they're not supposed to be doing. And I'll be honest with you, I almost felt oppressed. It didn't feel like a party. A party's supposed to wee, you know, and having a good time. I didn't have a good time. And the fact is, the next day, well, I was really wasted. I wasn't. I was in good shape. And they were bragging because they were wasted. And I'm thinking, yeah, uh-huh. They spent 3 hours around the porcelain throne getting rid of everything that they spent money for, pouring it down. This is, you know why? Because they're trying to escape. I talked about this. Video games, movies, living large beyond your means until you're so totally in debt you can't get out. Some try religion or some kind of meditation or philosophy. Or medication, whether legal or not. Self-medicate, alcohol, all these things. Let me give you this. I just happen to think about this. Our Constitution, watch this. John Adams says, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. That means that we're trying to push freedoms to the point of liberty to sin. That's not what it was ever intended for. And we wonder why our countries, in fact, in some ways, America almost seems worse than some other countries that are almost atheist, right? Why is that? Because we decide we have rights and freedoms and we don't have the government oppressing us, keeping a tap on it. Robert Winthrop, one of our founding fathers, says, men in a word must necessarily be controlled either by a power within them or a power without them, either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or by the bayonet. Why does York City have to have riot gear? I mean, we should get it for them. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't get it for them, but why should we have to have that? Why do we have to have them now? Aren't we evolving up? Should we be getting better? Listen, we've got a mess. Now, where's the mess? Let me give you the second thought here. The world may become much worse before Jesus comes back. I hate to tell you that. It really may, because it is much worse in a lot of the other parts of the world. Jesus will come when our days become as in the days of Noah. You're close by, you can turn to Matthew 24 real quick. I'm going to go ahead and start, but if you'd like to follow along, there it is. Matthew 24:37 says this. This is words of Jesus. It says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of Son of Man be." They said, well, what's so bad about that? I mean, they're getting married. That was kind of a normal part. Yeah. They're just going on about life, and it's all about them. What was the days of Noah like? See, he didn't say that everything was fine. He just says, as in the days of Noah, they were just living their thing. They were oblivious to the problem. And yet Noah had been preaching for 120 years, and they were shrugging it off, and it's like, whoosh, it was going right over their head until the flood shows up. What's this? What in the world? Water's coming out of the sky. Heaven sprung a leak. The sky is falling. The sky is falling, Chicken Little. What is this? Genesis 6:5. What was the days like while they were, while they were marrying and giving in marriage and eating and drinking, having a good time, living large? Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But we're marrying and drinking and eating, having a good time and giving in marriage. This is just life. Oh, yeah. But there's wickedness going on behind the scenes in the hearts of the people. It says their thoughts and every imagination of their thoughts was only evil continually. I hate to even say this, but you probably have. Have you watched some of the commercials for the new shows coming? The producers claim to be just reflecting society. If that is right, we're closer to the days of Noah than we thought. I mean, the fact is, it's evil continually. How do we know how they come up with this stuff? Just wicked, wicked stuff. And the thing is, we are enamored with it. It catches our eye. We are, you know, it's like we're glued to it. We can't wait till the next one. We Facebook that we saw it, and we talk about this and talk about that. We join clubs and have and talk about this and that. No, this show and that show and this group and that group, and eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and not knowing till the flood came. Now wait a minute. That's not our excuse. We don't have that excuse. He says every imagination back in Genesis, it was evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. And it repented, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And that's the way he felt. But verse 8 says this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now I'll tell you what, my Lord changes not. And he still wrote, if my people. He didn't say all of them. If my people. Are you one of his people? Well, if you're one of his people, that verse is for you in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I heal the land. You know what that means? Listen, if nothing else, I want them healing my land. I want them to heal things at my house. This 18 acres here, this church, I want him to make sure that's good and clean and healed. In fact, is I want this to be a hospital, a healing station. They come in and this, and they're going to find out the truth. They're going to find out there's a Savior, and they're going to find out there's hope. Watch. If we can convince our area that we are at rock bottom now, maybe they would be willing to repent and seek the remission of sin. I don't know. In other words, let's let them see how bad it really is. Maybe God will show his mercy. Individuals may still be able to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. unless God's people, including all of God's people in this room, get serious with God, humble themselves before God, rely utterly on God and thus pray, and seek God's face to know God, and turn from all the things that God considers to be wicked, this new normal will be the old normal. We can go back to what normal is supposed to be. But if we don't, this new normal will be the old normal, because the new normal will be even worse than this normal. We're not going to stay in one place. If you're not moving toward the Lord, I'll guarantee you, you're shifting back. Go out here to the Susquehanna River and put a boat on there. Got to find a good spot. Do nothing. And the water will carry you downstream. That's what sin does. Because that's the natural flow. That's the natural current. And that's why we are where we are. As a society. Let me give you a third thought. If God is not willing to forgive us and revive us, He would not be allowing all these things to get our attention so we will repent. Waste of time. If He didn't think it's possible for us to repent, why bother with us? What He's doing is saying, there's still hope, but I got to get your attention. Psalm 119 says, good that I've been afflicted, because now I keep thy statutes. In thy faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Now, it'd be a whole lot nicer if we could do this without the affliction part. Well, what am I supposed to do? Get in the book and do it. You know, it's not too hard to love love your neighbor as yourself. That's what He's asking. He's asking us to get saved and let God live through us, become what He wants us to be. Often, the Old Testament, God says He allows things to come to get our attention. I can't read all these, there's way too many, but I'm going to show you real quick. In Psalm 78, we have this Asaph. He said, I cried, and I'm sorry, 78, is that right? Yeah, okay. Psalm 78, he says, give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known of our fathers and have told us. We will not hide them from the children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. And He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to the children. See, that's our problem. As a society, we have not taken the things of God and made sure, well, they're a good kid. They don't need all this. They got to have some fun. I'll tell you what, that burns me up. I'll be honest with you. My parents says, well, they don't take them to church. They got to have some fun. I have fun at church. And that's because you get to do all the talking. Well, I had fun before I got to do all the talking. And by the way, going out and partying is not fun on the other end. He says, verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, coming up, generation, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And it goes on and says, listen, you go back and read it. He says, I did some things that get your attention, and then you come back for a little bit. Then you're off on your thing again. He does that. Let me show you this, Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Over and over and over again here, he talks about they forgot their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not His word, but murmured. It just talks about there again that they had to... I'm sorry, that was 106. That's what I'm looking for. Here we go. Verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, 107, verse 4, and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Then here's the phrase, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. But there he says again, verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God. Verse 13, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, break their bands asunder. Verse 15, all that men would praise the Lord. Verse 17, fools because of their transgressions. They cry out the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them. Verse 21, all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Verse 26, they mount up to heaven and go down against the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so the waves therefore are still. Then they are that are glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired heaven. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. You read that whole thing over and over again. Judges chapter 2. You know, I'm going to go to it. They get into the promised land. God's given them the promised land. Then they go off and do their own thing. Every man did that which is right in their own eyes. And then it says God would send oppression. But then he'd raise up a deliverer. And they would be fine as long as that deliverer was around. Then they'd get themselves in trouble. Because they get back in their sin. And God sends an oppressor. Then he sends a deliverer. My point simply is being, why did God go to all that trouble? Because he's not slack as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. Could it be that it will never get any better? Yes. But could it be that we can still have a sense of peace and righteousness for a few more generations? Yes. Let me give a fourth thought. The Lord sends things from the world to get our attention, because the world has our attention. Ladies, have you ever walked into the room and your husband's watching the game or the race or whatever it is or the news and, it says, John? I don't know. I just used that name. I'm sorry. John? Okay. Cletus? There we go. I don't know how many Cletus. Cletus? And he says, Cletus. Oh, Cletus. And then you get in front of him, between him and the TV, and you kind of, Cletus, Cletus, da 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 da, and you get his attention. And all he says is, get out of the way. That's how we live in the world sometimes. The world has our attention. We are enamored with what the world has, with our worldly treasure. And so God has to shake things up where we live. God displays his power where we're looking. What does the world have? What does America have? Things. Things and things and things and things and things. And so what he has to do to get our attention, take away the things. So you go, what? Hey, what? What? Now some people will say, see, that's what God's like. Who wants to worship him anyway? And God said, I just was letting you know that I'm still the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord Jehovah, the self-existing one. You're not getting away with this forever. God often takes our treasures because we have made our treasures God. It's our hope, our life, everything we are. This is what God did to Pharaoh. You know, most of the plagues were actually their gods. The lice and the flies and the frogs and all that mess, the sun god, it was actually their gods. And he was jerking his chain around. This is the ones you believe in? I can put their lights out like that. Just as when Moses laid down his rod and turned to a serpent, they said, well, we have that. And they made theirs turn serpent. But you listen, whoa, 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 whoa. Moses' rod was hungry. Ate the rest of them up. We should have our eyes on the Lord instead of the world. If we had our eyes on the Lord, then the Lord could do things that are in His character to draw us to Him. I'm kind of getting on a side note here, but I want you to see this. God doesn't like doing things that hurt us. No more than a parent likes to have to discipline their child. Psalm 32:8 says this, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Why do we have to wait for him to smack us down? God wants to win us over with his goodness, but we're just not paying attention to him. We're paying attention to the goodness, the blessings. Creation shows his goodness. Psalm 33:5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. We have a glorious creation to show us how good he is, and that we're not paying attention. Psalm 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. He wants to draw us with his goodness, not with this crazy stuff that's going on. Romans 2:3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? So are you making little of his riches and his goodness and his forbearance, his long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? We realize how God is, how good God is. It really should make us an all. So this would do what? I don't measure up to that. I need God. 2 Chronicles 16:19, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Watch. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. He wants to show us strong. He wants to show himself. Psalm 107, I was reading something, but watch this. Verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, they wouldn't listen to what he had to say. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. We should be proactive in seeking the face of God instead of waiting until God has to get our attention and we experience the pain and the anguish and the sorrow. Now, how do you do that? Proclaim as to everybody you can. Number 5. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we've talked about this. The problem is men are lovers of their own selves, not lovers of God. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 15:8, here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. These things have I spoken to you that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Exodus 23:20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to serve them, for I, Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy on the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Listen. I think another issue is that folks play games with church. They're not truly saved. We cannot truly love. Ready for me? We cannot truly love God or anyone else without being born again. Because what's in the heart of man? He's lover of his own self. If I'm a lover of my own self, I cannot love God like I need to. Love is even to a point of sacrifice, if it will. 1 John 5 said, you've heard me say this so many times, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that he has begotten. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. All this love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory, that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, do you trust God to fix this mess? Then do what God asks us to do. If we refuse to obey God and keep his commandments and continue to do what you want, what we want and what the world wants, we cannot expect to overcome the world. 1 John 2:3. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now we went through the Ten Commandments a few months ago. The fact is, there's a whole lot of ways that we're not keeping them just because I didn't sleep with my neighbor's wife. There's a lot of things. We think we're so righteous. I tell you what, get real close to the Lord, read that Bible, and say, Lord, tell me where I'm missing it. He goes on and says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Listen, well, you know what I'm saying? We can go to church all we want and claim spirituality, but if we are not seeking with all our heart to obey God, we do not love God, and yet we expect God to fix all of this. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. That's pretty plain. Why? Because God is love. Now, I want you to understand this statement here. And you know what? I think I'm going to be able to finish this. This is this statement. The reason we are losing our society to sin is because the spiritual birth rate has not been keeping up with the physical birth rate. Just mathematics. More folks are being born than we're leading to the Lord. Now that doesn't have to be in our area like that. Do you realize if I win one to the Lord and teach that person to win one to the Lord this year, now we have two. And if we do that again next year, we have four. We do that next time, we have eight. The next year, we have 16. The next year, we have 32. Well, let's wait a minute. We have, you know, what, we got about 120 folks here tonight. What if we all said we're going to win one? That's why we did that. Each one win one a few years ago. That hasn't changed. Well, you're not talking about it. He talks about it every week. Each one win one. If you can win one, lead that person to a point. Let them grow in you. Get them to church. Get them growing till they want to win somebody to Christ. If we had 100 this year, that would give us 200 next year. 400 the year after that. 800 a year after that. 1,600 a year after that. We could win our area to Christ by simply doing one a year. One a year. More people are being born physically each day than we are leading to be born again each day. More people are saved in the world and can be birthing more people spiritually than there are women in the childbearing years who can only have a child once a year. And that's pushing it. You see what I'm saying? A lady, there's more babies being born than we're birthing into the family of God. But there's only so many ladies that are childbearing years, and they can only do one a year. We could do two or three, four or five or six or seven a year. And it's every one of us, not just the gals and the child. We ought to be able to listen, go right past that birth rate with any problem at all. We could, but we're not. Here's the cure. We may not be able to change the world, though maybe we could. It only took 120 in the upper room. But we can change our homes. When's the last time you prayed with your family and you really meant it? Really meant it. We can change our town. Towns are made up of families. Change families, families change the town. The town, we can change our county. If we get serious with God. We may not be able to hold back the tide in our lifetime, but then again, maybe we can in our area. We may be able to slow the process down at least. Now, and I mentioned this the other day, and I'm going to just spend a little bit of time on this, and then we'll be done. The world is going after our kids. And they have been for quite a while. And by the way, just because something is good and friendly and family friendly, you better be careful that we don't make that the focus. Because if the world is controlling that issue, that activity, whatever it is, the God of this world is controlling the world. And he's going to get us suckered in. And then when he's got a good hold on us, he's going to change it. And we're not going to want to let go because it's tradition. It's what we always done. Well, we hate to deprive our kids of this. We hate to, and before long, we allow the world to just draw us right into that mess. I hate to say it, Disney isn't what it used to be. But you know what? I mean, I watched all that stuff as a kid. There's a lot of witchy stuff in there. Yeah, it really is. I don't know. You know, we just kind of laugh at it and go on and buy that. But you know, little kids, they kind of suck this stuff in. We got to be careful. You really do. I'm not saying you got to throw out Sleeping Beauty. I'm not. But there's a lot of stuff in it. We say, that's calm. That's safe. Is it? Make sure that you better make sure they're getting a whole lot more of Jesus walking on water than Sleeping Beauty. You better make sure. The world's going after our children. Luke 16:8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Watch. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. They know what they're doing. Many folks are too busy to bother with the generations to come. So we lose another generation to the world. And the world knows that the older generation will pass on. And as the older generation passes on, there are fewer and fewer folks who stand in opposition to the schemes of the God of this world, Satan. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and they will go with their heart by default. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Listen, the world tells children they probably know better than those old folks at their house. They just need to follow their heart. You hear that all the time. Follow your heart. Dangerous, dangerous. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and the thought of foolishness is sin. And we just go on like nothing's a problem. We just think, I think, as if there's not a problem. They've got wickedness in their heart. Well, how can my child have wickedness in their heart? They got it from you. Even Christian parents are sometimes afraid to tell their children no, in fear that the child will rise up in rebellion and the parent will lose their child. Well, let me say this, you'll lose them anyway. If that's true, you have already lost your child to the world. You folks with young kids, listen, you get their heart by the time they're five. Before they walk in the kindergarten that first day, they need to know you love them. They need to know that you're going to do right and what you're doing is for their best. And they care. They know they should know that they can trust you emphatically. that you care for them, and you would never do anything to hurt them except to help them to grow and to teach them to be all that God wants them to be. We need to be careful that we are not too busy and we are not too lazy or too self-consumed, loving our own selves, loving pleasures more than God, or too concerned about our building and our possessions to go after the children. What do? What's the cure? Preach repentance and a remission of sins. I've talked about that. I don't need to go through that. John said, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Luke 24, Jesus said, and that repentance, remission of sins would be preached in his name among all nations. We need to preach repentance, remission of sin. What's the cure? Next, proclaim the gospel at all times. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. We've got to get the next generation, or it's going to get worse. Somebody needs to help run the buses. I'm talking about here. The drivers. Workers, maintenance, folks to just ride and love on those kids, visit with them. Somebody needs to help with children's church. Even if you're standing back there and letting those kids know that you love them, whether they're coming in a bus or whether they're coming in a car, it makes no difference. Somebody needs to work in Sunday school, Lighthouse Kids Club, the teacher. A helper. We need to be giving out tracts. We have some folks who do. We need to be giving more out. We need to learn to lead others to Christ. You see, the new normal is going to be the old normal because the new normal is going to be worse than this normal if we don't do something different than what we've been doing. You cannot stem the tide by doing nothing. And the fact is, it's not on any one person. That doesn't need to be. You do a little, this person does a little, you do a little, you do a little. You got responsibilities elsewhere. I know that. Reasonable service. But you have contact with people that other people don't have contact with. You're just trying to build a church. I'm not trying to build a church. I'm trying to get a bride for Christ. Trying to fill up heaven with sinners. Somebody else needs to go in on Wednesday night and start the Bastards Club this week. Maybe several somebodies. If you can't right now take a Bible and walk them through the gospel, then you're not ready yet. I'm not trying to be mean. You're not ready yet. You should be able to take the Bible and give somebody the gospel. Now, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit's the one who convicts and reproves the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's right. But you've got to give them the Word of God. They're not going to get saved apart from the Word of God. We need to make sure that our lives truly shine the light of Christ that others may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We need to be praying. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. The answer to the perilous times, out of 2 Timothy, Timothy says, I charge thee, 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word. Build boys' clubs. Athletic organizations. Now, listen. Nothing wrong with having fun with the kids. But when they that becomes the purpose, we have lost our purpose. And when we lose our purpose, we might as well write Ichabod across the front of the church, because the glory has departed. And when all this mess keeps getting worse, we have no one to complain to. He says, preach the word, be instant there, right there, right there, in season. But right there when it's out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, look what it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. How do we know we are really in the ministry? Are you preaching when it's the thing to do? And are you preaching when it's not the thing to do? Are you giving out the gospel when you're going to have to endure afflictions? It's kind of like this morning, folks. This is serious business. The problem is, you know what happens? And I know because it's in my heart too. We're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know what that means? Man, if I get on board with a preacher, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have to miss my show on Saturday night. Or I'm going to have to go out on Saturday. I'm going to have to do this. Or whether you do that or I'm going to have to give out a tract. And I know that person's going to probably lose that friend. You might, but you may gain somebody's soul. And you'll have a better friendship than you ever had before. You know why we don't want to do it? We're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that's why in the last days perilous times come. Now most people, and I'm saying it because I'm not responsible for anybody else but me personally and what's preached behind the pulpit and what I've the little flock that the Lord has given me. I got to preach the truth. Now, most people in this room, and I love you, but they're going to listen to what I've said tonight and say, you go get them, Pastor. And you're all for it to happen. And I'm not letting myself off any. But Pastor can only do so much. We are all going to need to participate. And when we do nothing and things get worse, you ready? I wrote this down, I don't even want to read it. When we do nothing and things get worse, all we're going to have to do is look in the mirror to see part of the problem. Second Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Father, speak to our hearts here this evening. We need you. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You don't have to wait for the music. The Lord spoke in your heart about something. Would you come? Re-enlist. You may be doing it all the time. Re-enlist. Has God spoken to your heart? Is there someone? Start with that someone that you know needs to know Christ.